This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today,
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Is necessary and needed right now, and we're going to tell you why in just a few minutes. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, March the 9th, 2021. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk to him about House Bill 1, H.R. 1. It's the first official congressional bill of that Congress, and how it would federalize and micromanage our elections. So stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be very interesting. And did you know it's been about, well, it's been exactly 45 days and still no press conference from Joe Biden? 45 days since he's been in office. We're going to check with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, and we're going to talk about that and a few other things going on in this country a little bit later on in the show. You know, indeed, he is the voice of mainstream America. And I'm going to ask him about, I've been hearing this, and Ed, maybe I should ask you if you've heard this. This is one of the craziest conspiracy things going on right now, but I've heard it from more than a couple of people. Have you heard anything about slave labor going on underneath the White House, in the caverns of the White House? Have you ever heard any?
No.
Did you know that there is a rumor that there is women slave laborers or something like that working in the caverns underneath the White House? I'm not kidding. I've heard that from a couple of people.
Really? No, I've not.
Isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask Andrew, because, you know, if anybody has heard a conspiracy theory.
So would it have to be under Trump's? They're saying.
I don't know enough about it.
Since.
I understand if you type in certain words on Yahoo News that it will pop up. I don't know. I haven't gone there to see that. But I have heard from a couple of people about it. So it is going around. It's so weird. It is so weird. I mean,
I don't know if they're trying to say that it was only during Trump's administration.
Well, it possibly could have been only during, but I got the impression it was a long-lasting thing. It's gone through several administrations. But it would seem to me that if it had anything to do with women's slaves, it might have started in the Clinton administration, but I don't know.
They could walk down the street and see our military in slave conditions.
That's true.
Right now. Sleeping on the floor.
In Washington, D.C., you mean? You're talking about the National Guard, actually.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. Anyway, where am I here? Oh, and also, there's a distress call. It's been put out by the Department of Homeland Security for the southern border influx. Yet they continue to downplay the whole thing. They downplay it when they are asked about it. So we're going to take a look at that situation. And in our ultimate top 10, if you've noticed, we have been going back to find the greatest this and the greatest that in 2020. So it's time for the top 10 highest grossing movies in 2020. Now, Ed's a bit of a movie guy. Let's see if he knows what number one will be. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For you guys, I've been all over Tampa Bay for a long time. The best haircutter I've ever found is Andrew, the Master Barber, and his crew
at Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Andrew teaches them how to do it his way, the Italian way. That's the best way. And call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. And while we're at it, always make sure you listen to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Great people there, Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start your day. Always good news and fun to listen to, and sports and trivia. My gosh, they know more about the prince and the princess over there in Britain. I don't follow that stuff that much, but if you want to know more about what's going on with that kind of thing, for sure, Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So now we've got, Ed, you were talking about it off air, and you'll have to correct me on the number. We've got something like 10,000 unaccompanied minors. What were you saying?
An influx of 3,000.
Oh, 3,000.
3,000 minors.
I'll tell you what, this is crazy. And along with that, the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, today has asked the Homeland Security staff to volunteer to help deal with what he conceded was an overwhelming number of migrants at the border. Now, at the same time, if you listen to that Jen Psaki woman, who's the press secretary for Biden, nothing's going on. It's a little bit of a thing, but it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. It's nonsense.
I just want her one time to say, and this one time at band camp? You haven't seen the movie.
Say that again?
I want her one time.
Apparently haven't.
One time I want her to say, and this one time at band camp? There was American Pie. There was a girl that looks just like her that just wouldn't shut up. And this one time at band camp, we did this. And this one time at band camp.
Got it.
I mean, they look alike.
Are they the same person?
No,
maybe she got a job
so.
Now? Well, no. Anyway. So here is what Mayorkas said. Today I activated the volunteer force to support Customs and Border Protection as they face a surge in migration along the southwest border. He said, you have likely seen the news about the overwhelming numbers of migrants seeking access to this country along the southwest border. President Biden and I are committed to ensuring our nation has a safe, orderly. He is not committed to that. He's committed to getting and allowing a lot of these people in, and it's Katie bar the door. That's what he's committed to. I get kind of tired of them listening. You know, if they were really committed to anything with any kind of order and sense to it, we would build the wall, and then we would filter through the people as we could. And we would do it in an honest way, a legal way. I mean, we're thumbing our nose at people that are waiting and doing it the right way, are we not? If I was waiting in line and somebody went rushing ahead of me and got in front of me, I'd get mad after a while. And that's what's going on there.
Yeah, I was wondering, did Harry and his wife get in line? Because they just jumped into the U.S. She's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, right? You had mentioned that.
Megan
the other day.
I think she's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there was any way to get a deal out of it, they would get it. I'm sure.
Let's check Harry's green card. Prince Harry.
I'll tell you what, I have never seen, you know what amazes me, Ed, honestly, is that there's that much interest in it. I find those two people to be rather dull. I'm probably I don't know what. I'm listening to that guy talk. I don't think I'd want to sit with him, do a one-on-one, even if he was a prince.
Most Americans really don't care that this poor couple has a bad a bad time with their in-laws. You know,
they seem to,
and they want to come over and spill their guts. Why didn't they spill their guts over there? You know, why did they have to come over here?
What is their father, Prince? By the way, Prince Andrew's been waiting 82 years to become king. What's going on there?
Right,
he's gonna. I think his mother is gonna outlive him.
Probably.
Or by the time he takes the throne, he's gonna be like Biden. He won't know where he is. What's this thing on my head that's got this pointy thing? What am I? You know, that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that whole family situation. Why doesn't the Queen, like her mother did, her mother actually stepped aside Did you know that? Her mother lived to be over 100. Her mother,
Queen,
they called her the Queen Mother.
Right.
Why doesn't Queen Elizabeth become the Queen Mother title and allow Prince Charles to step up to the throne?
Right.
What's going on with that? Why?
Maybe he's not old enough yet. He's not.
He's about 68.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's old enough yet, you know? Why are we talking about this? See, make me do this, and I don't want to talk about the...
It'd be more interesting talking to Hans.
There you go. And we're going to talk to him. So let's take our break. We can get to Hans von Spakovsky.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Tuesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we're delighted to have back Hans von Spakovsky. He is a senior legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're talking with him about H.R. 1, House Bill Resolution 1. It's called the For the People Act. The For the People Act of 2021. Hans, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back. It really ought to be named For the Cheaters Act or For the incumbent Reelection
Yes.
Act.
Yes, indeed. This scares me very, very much. First of all, I wonder if it's even constitutional, Hans. But you say here, and Heritage says, that it's basically a way to federalize and micromanage the election process. I thought that clearly the states have the right to set their standards for their elections, even when they are federal elections. I'm wondering if they're running into a constitutional issue.
Well, the devil's in the details. It depends on what rules you're talking about, because while it's true states run our elections, and they, under the Constitution, have 100% authority over the qualifications for eligibility to vote, The Constitution does say that Congress can, if it wants to, override state rules with congressional elections when it comes to time, place, and manner of the elections. They've always pretty much stayed out of it. So, look, this is an 800-page bill. There are parts of it that I think are blatantly unconstitutional. On the other hand, there are parts of it that, while they are really bad policy, they're not unconstitutional. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about relevant to Florida.
Sure.
This is a provision in the bill that is blatantly unconstitutional. It says that states, if this becomes law, will have to restore the ability of a felon to vote the moment he steps out of prison. Now, as you know, Florida put in a law saying, well, no, first you have to finish, you know, parole or probation, you have to pay court costs, etc. That would go out the window. You would no longer be able to enforce that. The problem with this provision in federal law is that the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution specifically gives states, not the federal government, but states, the right to decide if and when a felon will be able to vote. Mm-hmm. So clearly, that part of the bill is unconstitutional. On the other hand, unfortunately, like I said, there are other parts of it, while bad policy may not necessarily be found unconstitutional.
Right. Here's what I worry about. We are all now worried about the integrity of our elections, whether or not we believe that Biden won fairly, and I think most people do, that he did win. But we are all talking about mail-in voting, harvesting of ballots, voting out of your precinct, all of the different changes that allow you to vote other than on the day and at your precinct. All of the different things you can, there's about 25 different ways you can vote now in many places, including here in Florida. And it worries me. It worries me about the integrity of the vote. Once my vote leaves my hands, how many hands are grabbing my ballot before it gets to the counting process? You know, that kind of thing. Your thought on all of that?
Oh, no, but you should be worried. And in fact, that's the whole problem with H.R. 1, is that it basically destroys or voids out all the protocols that states have put in to try to protect the integrity of the election process. And to talk about, referring to what you just talked about, for example, many states are smart and prohibit vote trafficking, as I like to call it, or vote harvesting, as the other side says. They prohibit anyone other than a family member from picking up a completed absentee ballot and delivering it to election officials. They don't want third-party strangers, you know, political consultants and candidates and campaign staffers being able to legally get their hand on your absentee ballot, because you never know what they might do with
right.
it once they get their hands on it, right? Okay. Well, for any state that has banned that kind of vote trafficking by third-party strangers, H.R. 1 would override that state law. It requires every state to allow anyone to pick up and deliver an absentee ballot.
I mean, this is, it's like, I don't know what the feeling is. It's like, you know, it's like an earthquake in the Constitution to me. It's like everything is coming unglued. It almost starts there. If you can't have faith in the election of our people, our president all the way down, if you can't have faith in those election processes, what do you have left? And we've got a lot of people, I don't know what percentage of people now, that are very, very worried about this. Is there any way to put the genie back in the bottle, I'm wondering? In other words, is there any way, Hans, that we can go back to demanding that people show up on Election Day at their precinct, excepting for military and possibly those that are handicapped and cannot make it out, where I think we could certainly figure out a way to get them their ballot and have it counted?
Oh, yeah, it can be done. But if H.R. 1 passes, you won't be able to do that down in the states. This bill, by the way, for example, says that states have to have at least 14 days of early voting, basically taking that choice away from the states. It requires states to allow up to 10 days after Election Day for an absentee ballot to come in. It's just one thing after another like that. Look, I agree with you. We need absentee ballots for people who are too sick or physically disabled to make it to the poll, or folks who are out of town, like our military people who are overseas. But all the rest of us, we really shouldn't be voting by absentee ballot, because they're too vulnerable to not only fraud, but pressure and coercion being brought on voters in their homes. And anybody who doubts that, good grief. The Miami Herald won a Pulitzer Prize in 1997 for its investigative reporting of the massive fraud in the Miami mayor's race that year. You know, that race was overturned, and a judge estimated that something like 5,000 fraudulent ballots had been cast in that election, most of them absentee ballots.
Wow.
And all the worst things that can happen with absentee ballots occurred in that election. Mm-hmm. And Florida has had numerous other cases over the years of absentee ballot fraud in elections. So making it easier to commit that fraud is just a bad idea. This federal law, if you can believe it, says that any state that's got is smart enough to have a witness signature requirement for absentee ballots, which makes sense, right? You want a witness who can authenticate. Yeah, it really was the voter.
Yes.
Who filled out and signed the ballot. That's now unenforceable.
Oh, my
no
goodness.
State can require a witness signature for an absentee ballot. Oh, and voter ID laws, out the window.
Yeah.
No state can require somebody to have to show an ID when they vote.
This is, I'm not kidding you, this is bizarre world. Bizarro world. There's something wrong. We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky about House Bill 1. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and he looks into these things, and he's upset about it. I am, too. And they call it for the People Act, like you said, for the People Act. It seems to be a Democratic effort to get more Democratic votes or to give Democrats a higher incidence of victories. It would seem to be a lot of this is going to go before the Supreme Court and be tossed. I would think that, some common sense somewhere along the way. For instance, just like you just said, with voter ID out the window, what are they thinking? I mean, you got to present identification for all kinds. You can't get on an airplane without IDs. You can't, I don't know. It. Where is the sense in this?
Well, there isn't. You know, their claim is that election fraud just doesn't happen in the U.S. You don't need to worry about
it. Oh, come on.
That's an absurd claim. And second, they claim that if you, for example, require an ID or trying to suppress votes, that also we know is not true. Because states that have had we have states that have had voter ID laws in place, like Indiana and Georgia, for more than a decade. We have 10 years worth of turnout data from those states that we can compare with states that have no ID, like New York. And it makes it very clear IDs do not keep people from voting because of what you just said, which is all of us every day, that is ordinary folks, not these elites in Washington, we have to show an ID.
Yeah.
Almost every day. I mean, you go to the pharmacy, you go to your doctor, you want to buy a beer, cash a check, you have to show an ID. So we all know that's not a big deal. And obviously it's something that ought to be required for something as precious as voting.
It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So what are the chances that this gets through the whole process and becomes law, Hans?
Well, it passed the House on a party line vote. Only one Democrat voted against it. So it's now in the U.S. Senate, got there last week. Stopping it with a vote, it depends on trying to convince at least one or two Democratic senators to vote against it. You know, the person people always talk about is Senator Manchin of West Virginia, although He usually talks a good game of being a supposed moderate, but when it comes down to a vote, he's never there.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you can't convince one of the Democrats, and all you need is one Democrat voting against it, as long as Republicans stick together, then it's going to come down to a filibuster. That is, the Republicans staging a filibuster and trying to oppose debate ending on the bill. That's
right.
What a filibuster is. And if they can stage a filibuster, then they can stop the bill. But as you know, Chuck Schumer and others on the Democratic side are talking about wanting to end the filibuster so that they can basically overwhelm the minority party in the Senate.
Yeah, but Joe Manchin said he will not vote for that. So if that is the case, and Joe Manchin votes with the Republicans, they won't be able to end the filibuster. Joe Manchin claims we need to use the filibuster, but very cautiously or carefully. Do you think he's going to slide back over to the Democrats on that issue?
Well, he's already slid a little bit. He's now said that, well, he might be willing to consider some modification
Uh-oh.
To the filibuster rule,
yeah.
Which I'm afraid might pretend something even worse,
wow.
But that is the key to stopping this. By the way, Joe Biden's already said he would sign it right away if it came through, and they are trying to make it as hard as possible for states to then sue. At least 20 attorney generals, by the way, have sent a letter saying this is a bad bill. They're trying to make it as difficult as possible for challengers like states to sue, because, if you can believe this, they put a provision in this bill that says anybody challenging this law can only sue in one federal court in the entire United States.
Oh, really?
And that is the federal district court in the District of Columbia.
Yeah, the most liberal court in the country.
Yeah, remember, this is the court that when Harry Reid was the majority leader in the Senate, remember, they added three unneeded seats to the Federal Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, even though it's one of the least worked court with the fewest cases of any federal appeals
Isn't
court
that
in
crazy?
The country. They added three seats, and you know why? So they could pack the court
of course.
With three more liberal justices that were nominated by and confirmed through Barack Obama.
Yes, indeed. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing what goes on in Washington when you really look under the carpet. Hans, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for enlightening us on this bill. God forbid the thing passes. But thank you, sir, and we'll talk soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hans von Spakovsky. And by the way, I kept him longer than he was supposed to be, but he enjoys talking with us. He's got another appointment with, I think, with another interview here. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk with another gentleman, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci. 45 days in office and still no press conference from Joe Biden.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and delighted to be here. But if you cannot hear us live, you know, you got things to do perhaps, you can listen to us on podcast anytime you want. Big Ed sets all of our shows up on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website and click on the podcast button. Our website is OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, I guess there are now about four or five women that have come forward to announce that Andrew Cuomo, the New York governor, has sexually harassed them. Republicans in the state of New York's assembly announced an impeachment resolution against Cuomo, saying they believe he has lost his credibility and trust and has an inability to lead the state of New York amid the allegations. Now, I would say that even more important has been the way people have died under his watch in the nursing home scandal, and then they fudged the numbers. And I know, Andrew, you believe that as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. But they're probably going to impeach him on the sexual harassment rather than on what he did with the nursing homes. It's crazy.
Well, I have a new name. I have a new name for Andrew Cuomo.
Okay, we got to be careful here. Go ahead.
We're calling him Pepe Le Pew from now on.
Very good.
Okay, because according to what I'm understanding, the women are complaining that he tried to kiss them.
Yes.
Well,
that's what
Pepe Le Pew's reputation.
Pepe did that so well.
She tried to kiss the cat all the time against her own will, they're saying. So
Pepe was
his new name
one of
is Pepe.
I like it. We could just call him Governor Pepe from now on. I wonder if he would like that.
That's it.
And then, they had a name for his brother, the guy that does that CNN show, right? They called him Fredo. Remember that? Remember that?
That fit perfectly. You got Fredo and Pepe Le Pew. Amazing, the twin brothers.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, Paul.
Yes.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do with that bill they're trying to get through for the people? It sounds like Morgan and Morgan is writing that. The people.
It's for the people. You would think it's a nice bill because the people will benefit from it. Come on. Anytime you hear
out of their minds, Paul, what is going on is totally absurd.
Listen,
there is nothing rational about anything they are doing.
No, you're right.
And if they keep it up, I don't think we got 2 years, Paul, to try and fix
this. Well, I'm very worried.
I think they're going to make us unrepairable.
Okay, so now at the border, they got this email going in the Department of Homeland Security. Meantime, they're saying, you know, publicly, things are fine. You know, we're doing everything's okay. In the emails, they're panicking about the border search. Panicking. They want to send DHS officials down there to figure something out. Well, for goodness sake, what did they expect? What did they expect when Biden kept promising that he was going to be more compassionate and we were going to stop the building of the border walls? What do they expect?
Well, they got pictures of all these people coming through the border with Biden Let Us In t-shirts on that are brand new.
Yeah, and where are those coming from?
I mean, where are they getting those from?
Exactly.
They go to JCPenney's or what?
Yeah, exactly. Is Amazon doing it? I mean, where do you get it? And how do they get them on? What do? They go running down to Mexico somewhere? And they got a big stand.
So they're all spotless. They're all spotlessly clean,
yeah,
too. So they haven't been walking in them long.
This is very scary. This is very scary.
Paul, listen. I was reading a thing on Hermann Göring, Adolf Hitler's lieutenant.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, reading this article about him, and he was saying it's very easy how we took over Germany. All you have to do is scare the people. Once you got the people scared, you have their control.
I think
you have them under control. And you know what, Paul? That's exactly what's happening here. And you know what? They're burning the books. They're getting rid of cartoons. I really believe their ultimate goal is to get rid of the Bible.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, a few years ago, if you had said that, I would have laughed. Not anymore. And you're right. Look what they're doing with Dr. Seuss. They're doing it with all kinds of things. They rather than present another point of view, they don't even want you to hear that point of view.
No, as a matter of fact, I heard they're going to come down on Elmer Fudd now because he sounds like Joe Biden when they speak.
Oh, that's terrible. I always liked Elmer. I rooted for him against Bugs. I thought, Elmer, if you could just kind of talk Bugs into standing still, you got the shotgun. I don't know if they would do it on a cartoon, but you know what I'm saying. Now, I got to ask you something. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was going to say we're in trouble. I don't care what people think. Well, when they're saying there's nothing at the border happening, that's the news media telling them, Paul.
Yeah.
The media is covering everything. They cover for Biden. Listen, Camilla is like a school teacher. Everywhere he goes, she's standing behind him with her hands crossed.
Yes.
Everywhere she goes.
Yeah, we're talking about the vice president, right? Yeah. Now,
I mean, it's terrible.
I want to switch topics with you. I've heard this, and I think it's crazy, but I want to know if you've even heard of it. Have you heard any rumor that underneath the White House there is some sort of women slave thing going on in the caverns below the White House? Have you ever heard anything about that?
Paul, that's one thing I haven't heard about, I wouldn't doubt it.
I've heard it from a couple of people, and it's supposedly there's a story on Yahoo News about it. And I thought, now this is, I mean, I've heard some crazy talk, but this is really crazy. But supposedly it's like a slave trade operation going on underneath the White House. Somebody got that going. There are people that believe it. I think it's amazing what people will believe and swallow.
How can you doubt anything today?
I know.
I mean, look what they're trying to do and get away with.
I agree.
Okay? I mean, is anything they're doing have any reason behind it? Tell me.
Now, I also want to talk to you about, I know, another issue that's near and dear to your heart, and that's the transgender issue. And South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said she's signing a bill limiting female teams in sports at public schools to students who are biologically female. Now, that bill passed the South Dakota Senate 20-15. Do you think they could pass such a bill in either California or New York?
No.
I guess not.
No, never going to happen. Paul, but she did the right thing,
of
Paul.
Of course she did.
You know, you got to put a stop to what's going on. We need to cancel culture.
Indeed,
period.
We do.
And we need to cancel it.
I agree. I think most people, I think it's going to backfire on Democrats, all of this nonsense. Eventually people go, you know what? I'm not buying this anymore. And then they drop the whole thing. They go completely the other way because they realize that we've gotten into Looney Tunes land. And this is obviously one of them, you know. I mean,
Paul.
Yeah.
It's like I said before, are the American people really that stupid? Because if you look back when we were kids and you had the automotive manual and you opened it up, it actually showed you how to adjust your rocker arms, your lifters,
right.
Okay?
Yes.
Now you open up the manual and it tells you, do not drink the battery fluid. We didn't have to be told that.
I know.
I mean, what is going on, Paul? The American people, it is stupid. Okay, they got their kids wrapped in bubble wrap. We used to ride in the back of pickup trucks when we were kids.
That's true.
They got them wrapped in bubble wrap in the back seat with three straps holding them down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on.
You know, I remember what always saddened me was taking the high dive off of the pools and also removing jungle gyms and parks. I used to love doing that stuff. And, you could fall, but you could fall off your bicycle and get hurt, too. What are you going to do?
You fall off the kitchen chair.
Of course. I fall off bar stools all the time. No problem.
We're not talking about bar stools.
I know, but I've learned how to fall off a bar stool without being hurt. That's all I wanted to say.
it's totally ridiculous, Paul. I'm getting to the point now where I'm afraid of what they're going to talk about and what's going on
right. In
this country. It's ridiculous. We're not going to have any more cartoons on. What did they do with the Three Stooges? I mean, I never hit anybody over the head with a sledgehammer, did you? You ever poke anybody's eyes out?
No.
What is their problem?
I always did worry a little bit when they played that little trick. I know that he's hitting right above his eyes, you know, like on his forehead, and he does it real quick. Mo would do it all the time. He got it down to a science. But I did always worry he was going to poke out one of his brother's eyes. Now, I got to ask you this. 48 days as president, and Joe Biden still won't stand in front of the press and take a question. Now, we know why. We know why. But how long do you think he can hold out on this before even...
I don't know. They're talking that he's going to go on television, I think, Thursday night or tonight, as a matter of fact. Because it's the year anniversary for COVID.
That's right.
You know what?
What?
I'm not going to watch him. I got to watch the pickers instead.
Do you remember...
What am I going to hear? I'm going to hear what a good job Joe Biden has done with COVID. He has done nothing. He has done nothing in 47 days except try to screw over this country, him and all his cronies.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Nothing.
Executive orders, one after another. I don't know why I remember this. Do you remember when President George W. Bush had to duck a shoe that was thrown at him?
Yep.
Do you think if one of the reporters threw a shoe at Biden, would he be quick enough to duck?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't either. I don't think his reflexes are that quick anymore.
Well, especially when he's sitting there staring at the teleprompter. His eyes aren't anywhere else. He's not going to know what's happening.
Well, he used to have very quick reflexes. I remember when he would spot a nice-looking lady. Boy, could he move quickly over there and put his hands on her shoulders. He had good reflexes back a few years ago.
He's so slow.
You know, Paul,
he's slow.
How come they want to listen to all of these five women that went after Cuomo, but they don't listen to the one or two that went after Biden?
Oh, of course.
What's with that?
Well, you know what's with that. They're covering for him. That's what's with that. They're covering for him. Now the Democrats have turned on Cuomo, as you know. That's what's going to do him in. If the Democrats have turned on him, he's done, in my opinion.
Well, they brought out their secret weapon, the women. They could care less about the people that died. They figured the big excuse is the women, Paul.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing today. Oh, my God, the women, we treated them so bad. I don't know about these women. My wife has got it made.
You see, there,
my wife has got it made. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She sends me out to work every day.
Yes.
She stays home, watches her recorded programs. And I won't watch her programs with her, so she watches them until 12, 1 o'clock, has her coffee, goes shopping. What am I doing wrong here? And the women, what are the women complaining about? They want my job? Come and follow me for a day, honey. You can have my job.
I happen to know.
Are you kidding me?
I happen to know that your wife is wonderful at doing manicure work and all kinds of things. She's got a real talent for it. And she's a lovely woman. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's Queen Nicole. No question about
she,
it.
She is a queen and she deserves
it. I live with the queen and I got the princess. I got the prince. Me, I'm the Joker, Paul.
No.
I got to be the Joker.
No, you're not.
I get stuck with everything.
You're a wonderful man. You're a humanitarian. You're a very good Samaritan. If people knew the kind of work that you did around the neighborhood for other people that have special needs, they would know how good a guy you are, and I know you are, and I know you won't talk about it. But I'm just reading this right off that sheet that you wrote for me, and I wanted to make sure I said it right. Did I say it right?
You got it, Paul.
No, you are. You're a great guy.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. But you know what? I'm so tired of hearing people moaning how bad they got it. I'm tired of it, everybody. They're all moaning how bad they got it.
Yes, I agree with you.
You know, I got a brother that's been in a wheelchair for 25 years. Go look at him and tell me how bad you got it.
That's right. You're right. I mean, we should get on our knees and thank the good Lord every day that we wake up in the morning, you know?
Well, you got to watch saying that, Paul, because they're going to try and cancel that, too.
Yes.
They're trying to cancel religion. They're canceling. I'm telling you, this is Nazi Germany in the 30s, buddy. Everything you're seeing.
This is what socialism does. It keeps creeping along, taking more and more and more of your freedom. And now people are starting to see it, I think.
Now you even see anti-Semitism coming back all over the place. I mean, what is this, a repeat of history?
Well, those doomed that haven't kept up on their history are doomed to repeat it. Human nature being what it is, you know what I mean? This is what's happening. It really is.
This is ridiculous, Paul. You think the people would be smarter than this, but nope,
you would.
They're not.
They're not, though. That's
like
exactly
I say,
right.
There is no reason for anything that is going on today. No reason at all except to try and destroy this country.
Well, I thank God there are people like you, Andrew, that are around. We can talk about this kind of thing, and hopefully we continue to push the freedoms that we should enjoy and work for, but you gotta work for them. You can't just sit back and be apathetic. That is the worst sin of all, being apathetic. So
that's it, Paul.
All right, my friend.
They're apathetic. All right, my friend, you be good.
I've
got to get back to work. I've got people waiting.
All right.
I got a country to save.
You got to save a country.
Be good, buddy.
Cut some hair. We'll talk Friday. All right. There he goes, the master barber. All right, let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 highest grossing movies in 2020.
Little lips avec moi. Bonjour, Monsieur Frog. Comment allez-vous this fine morning? Knee deep in flowers will stray.
Yeah!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And before we get to our top 10, I wanted to talk with that a little bit. First of all, we had a terrible incident here on, was it I-4 or I-275 at... I'm just wondering what the update was, but there was a Tampa policeman that was killed, and he was trying to protect. Was he trying to protect another situation?
He had a wrong-way driver early this morning, 1 a.m., going the wrong way on 275.
Oh, okay.
It was going southbound, northbound on the southbound direction.
Going the wrong direction on
right.
the interstate. Yeah.
We don't know if he was intoxicated. Had to be something.
Yeah.
And... early reports says the officer, the first responded, was right in the area and evidently tried to get in the way of the speeding car that was going in the wrong direction in order possibly to save any lives that were down the line.
Yes, indeed.
So we don't know. That was the first report, but the saddest part is that he was killed in the crash. Father of three.
It's terrible.
Seven-time lifesaver. One of those things.
That's just horrible.
So
we never can give enough credit to firemen and policemen who do indeed risk their lives when the moment arrives and they've got to protect human life.
I mean, I would think it has to be true because, I mean, if you see both vehicles, it's a mess, and he would have to be going the other way. So
yeah.
I would think that maybe he did try to stop it and hope that he could survive it in a SUV that he was in.
It's terrible. It brings up memories. I was coming out of Chicago on the interstate, and it was early in the morning. I had been with my girlfriend, and here comes these headlights right at me, right straight at me. At first I thought, it's not moving, it's something else, but it was a car.
Right.
And I got out of, and the car, I mean, it didn't even slow down, going the wrong way.
Yeah, I was coming out of New York at 3 a.m. after work, and we were headed north on U.S. 19 at the overpass of Sunset Point Road. And, we just almost got to the top. As we got to the top, the lights were coming at me. I was looking at my wife, and she actually grabbed my arm, and I looked out the windshield at the front and jerked the wheel to the right. The car hit my SUV, tore off the axles, hit right behind the back door, tore the axle off, spun us around, and we were going down the other side of the overpass backwards, and I'm trying to hit the brake. I've got no rear wheels.
Oh, God.
She was drunk, going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Had I not had my ex, screaming and grabbed my arm, we would have just head on. No, I'm doing 60 there. She was doing 60.
She saved your life.
Well, both of us.
Both your lives,
just,
I mean.
It just happened to be that way,
amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing. All right. It is time for our top 10 highest grossing movies in 2020. Now, keep in mind, even though they're the highest grossing movies, that's not necessarily means they made the most profit. You can spend a lot of money to make a movie and still have a lot of money coming in, and you could possibly lose money on a movie because of the expense. So you never know. But anyway, these are in 2020. And let's see if Ed knows what is number one. So here we go. Number 10. A movie called The Croods, A New Age. It says, a rare theatrical bright spot during the pandemic. The Croods, A New Age, boasted the best debut since March, when it opened with a $14 million take-in after a five-day Thanksgiving weekend. It sounds like it's one of those animated films. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, it's Universal, and it grossed $32.3 million. All right, number nine. The Gentlemen. Mm. I think I saw this one. Okay. I think I did. It was released in January. It grossed $36.5 million, and early enough to largely skirt the effects of theatrical shutdowns. What is that actor from Texas that does a lot of commercials for?
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes. Mm. Matthew McConaughey was in that movie. You're right. Very good. Number eight. Tenet, T-E-N-E-T, from Warner Brothers. It grossed $57.9 million. Christopher Nolan's heady action sci-fi. You ever hear of that movie?
No.
Okay. it went to theaters over the Labor Day weekend. Now, all of these were affected by the pandemic. They were all affected. Many of them went to Redbox and the like after that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number seven. Onward, $61.6 million. Pixar's first movie of 2020, released directly to Disney Plus in North America. Number six, The Call of the Wild. I saw this movie too. It was a computer-enhanced dog.
Okay, yeah, okay. Sounds familiar.
$62.3 million. It was a mega flop, even though it made that much money.
It
was
didn't
a
look
mega
very
flop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy that played Han Solo played the...
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. All right, number five. I saw this one, too. The Invisible Man, $64.9 million.
That was good.
I liked it.
That was good.
Kevin, what's his name, was there?
Yeah, great twist in the end.
It was.
Yeah.
And they had good special effects, didn't they? Mm-hmm. All right, number four. Doolittle, Universal's ultra-expensive reimagining of Dr. Doolittle, $77 million. Number three, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. You've seen that one or heard about it?
No.
I didn't either. It grossed $84.2 million from Warner Brothers, considered a box office disappointment when it first opened. They renamed it in a futile attempt to salvage it. Nonetheless.
Let's give it a different name. It'll do it better.
There you go. All right. Number two. Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm sure you saw Sonic. Oh, come on.
No.
You like hedgehogs. It was. It grossed 100.
Tastes like chicken.
It grossed $146 million from Paramount. And it sounds like it was one of those computer animated dealies. I don't know that for sure.
Hmm.
All right, Ed. What do you think was the number one highest grossing movie?
I can't remember what was out. I can't.
No?
No.
Yeah, I know it's one of those.
It's confusing because so much was shifted to either Redbox or Disney Plus. I don't remember what
that's
was
about true.
That,
so. That is true. It skewed everything. It was Bad Boys for Life.
It was okay.
Oh, you did see it.
Yeah.
$206.3 million. Only in 2020 would a film released in mid-January finish at the top of our yearly ranking. After a nearly 17-year hiatus when Bad Boys 2 came out, the Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Buddy's threequel.
Right.
There you go. All right. And you said you liked it or not?
Not as good as the other two. It was okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they probably made a ton of money, so that should make you feel very good. All right, my friends, we will be back on Friday. Thank you for listening. Do remember, freedom works.